Coming down to Dream with Money Matters and in-house, Liesl Kapphammer of ARC Federal Credit Union. Good morning, Liesl.
Good morning, Dr. John.
Good to have you back. And monthly, folks, on the third Tuesdays, we like to take some time out and talk about financial matters. And today is going to be specific, good time of year to do this, by the way, May, for graduates of high school and college and what they do next, particularly with respect to finances. I mean, there's a new life unfolding for a high school graduate. There's a new life unfolding for a college graduate. And they really should get an appreciation for finance right out of the gate. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of new responsibilities on their plate. And just things that maybe you haven't considered. You don't know what you don't know. And you really have to look at that stuff through a new lens.
And I can say, as both a former high school graduate and a college graduate, the finance side of things never really occurred to me. And there's so many other things you're paying attention to. Can I get that first job? Can I get something that I like? Do I need further education? You know, a lot of people are getting involved in serious relationships or even getting married and having kids. And the finances kind of get put on the back burner or don't even get on the oven at all. And you really got to guard against that. So let's talk about somebody just coming out of college or high school who's not going on to college but's got gainful employment. What kind of situations are they going to face? What kind of surprises or unknowns? You say that it's what you don't know that's the problem. So
right, that sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden you're hit with a situation that you don't know how to handle it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we're looking at this as you're going into your first job, and you get that first paycheck. A lot of times, you know, you go into it and you have this setup where, hey, you're making X dollars an hour, and you've calculated that to, all right, this is my take-home pay when my paycheck comes in 2 weeks. And then you look at that pay stub and you realize, well, that's less than what I thought it would be.
This isn't fair.
Right? Like, where'd all my money go? So there are deductions that come out of that, and you need to understand that going in. There are taxes, federal, state, local income taxes, you have Social Security, you have Medicare, depending on whether you're looking at a job that has health insurance coverage, have any kind of retirement plan set up, and if you're in a union or anything like that. We have kids that go to technical school and maybe join a union if they're in a trade. All of those things are coming out of your paycheck before you actually get that take-home pay.
Yeah, if you have less than 30% deducted, you're lucky. But some people, as much as 40% of their paycheck is not received, they get a net of 60%, and all that Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, union dues, state taxes, local taxes, school taxes.
Yeah.
It goes on, and you know, you're left with a lot less than what you expected. So try not to be surprised by that. If they've been working a part-time job through high school, they probably have some sense that gross is not the net, and they'll be prepared for that. But are there other surprises that are going to come their way with that first paycheck?
I think one of the things that you need to prepare yourself for is, especially if you're on the point where you've moved out, you're living on your own, maybe you're responsible for those bills and utilities that to that point you had not been. If you were living in a college dorm, now you have your own apartment, those additional expenses, I highly recommend you do build that budget and say, hey, this is now my take-home pay. This is what I've got to take me through a month, and these are my bills for that month. And not that that wasn't, say, a concern in college, but if you did have, you know, student housing that was worked into your tuition, and maybe you had a meal plan and all of that was included,
that's the way to go, because everything's taken care of for
you know?
Your room, your board, it's meals. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, just on campus. This is a great life. And it was for me, by the way. But when I came out of college, suddenly I'm like, wait a minute, I got to get an apartment. I also got to get furniture. I got to get this. I got to get that. Mm-hmm. I got to get the other thing. I got to get my own. I got to do my own shopping and go on cooking. This is all time you got to budget as well, folks, that you weren't perhaps used to. And I do remember, and this, I should be embarrassed to say this, I kind of am, all right? But I was wondering in this, so I got out of college in May, And I started a job in August. And the following spring, I'm wondering if my dad's going to keep doing my taxes. And while I was wondering that, he sent me a signal. No, it's time for you to grow up. But right. I had no idea even how to do taxes at that point. You have, right. you know, and I did the short form, and it wasn't, you know, it's pretty easy. But mm-hmm. for somebody who's never done it before and really didn't even have a grasp of what all is going into this, you know, these are things you got to learn and be paying attention to.
100%. And thankfully, now there are a lot of resources through like TurboTax and H&R Block have a lot of online apps and resources that make that easier, especially when it is like an easy, this is your first job. You don't have a lot of, you know, you don't own a home and you don't have all the extra things that make it more complicated.
Yeah. Why didn't I access those back in 1977?
You were missing out. But so that is helpful now. And there are more resources, I think, because a lot of people realize like this isn't out there. Why? What was I supposed to do? I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. But ARC, for example, we have a lot of that on our website. There are resources under our financial wellness tab to walk you through, hey, you've never had to deal with taxes, or maybe you had a significant life change. There are some helpful educational tools, which, again, it's for educational purposes only. It doesn't constitute financial advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any financial products. But just consult a qualified financial professional before making those financial decisions.
That's nice how you work that disclaimer in there. Very, very smooth. She's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. She's a professional. But, you know, here's something else I faced coming out of college. All right. So I'm getting a salary and I have rent to pay. I have utilities to pay. I have a car payment. All right. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever had a car payment. I also had a student loan to pay off. Mm-hmm. And again, this is kind of paying off loans is a new experience when you're a youngster. And what are your, you know, what can you advise people with respect to student loans or other loans that they might have to deal with?
So I know that sometimes students will take out a mix of the federal loans and private loans, depending on, you know, what they've had saved or their parents had saved for them when it came time to going to college. And there are differences in repayment plans or requirements when it comes time to pay those back. So always be very aware of what it is that you're required to do as far as repayment for those different types of loans. That is something that if you haven't heard anything by the time it's almost graduation time, reach out to whatever financial institution those loans are set up with. Normally you get some kind of notification like, hey, these payments are going to start being due on X date in this amount. If you don't have something in writing at that point, contact them because you didn't know or I didn't see that, I didn't know about it, you're still responsible for it because X number of years ago when you started taking out those loans, you would have signed the documentation to say, hey, as soon as I graduate within 30 days or within 90 days, whatever the paperwork said, I'll start paying on these. You signed it back then, you're still responsible.
And there will be consequences if you don't repay the loans or you fall behind as well, mm-hmm. and they can be significant. Now, I'll just invent a hypothetical case. Okay, it was me. All right, it was me. But I had $6,000 of student loans. Again, that doesn't sound like anything these days, but in the 1970s, that was a big chunk of money. All right, and federal loans, and but I also had $2,000 or $3,000 worth of loans from my college, Notre Dame. Mm. Well, I let the Notre Dame loan sort of lapse after a couple years. Things were tight, and but then I got offered a job from Notre Dame, but it was held up. Because, you know, yes. Hey, we'd like to give you an offer, but you're actually in arrears here. So yeah. I actually took out another loan to pay off, good with Notre Dame. And then I've been good on every loan since, folks, mm-hmm. believe me. But there are consequences if you fall behind on this. So you got to give some mm-hmm. priority to paying off these loans. Mm-hmm. And we've talked every month now about a budget and how you put together a budget, and a key component of that budget is savings. So there's going to be a balance here too, right?
100%. So you do have to realize that, you know, bills are going to be due, loan payments are going to be due. But just because you are you are responsible for these payments doesn't mean it is not a good time to at least set up some kind of savings. Always try to build that habit, because it is not just that, hey, I have this little bit of an emergency fund started. It is that you are starting a habit. And creating that habit is one of the best things you can do for yourself long term, right? It doesn't have to be that you're putting aside $100 a week, right? We understand that that's not always a position we're in. It can be a small amount, but it is that habit that you are building.
And there are mechanisms with financial institutions where you can get automatic deductions. So, mm-hmm. The government's automatically deducting from your paycheck, right?
Right.
But let's pay yourself first is the mm-hmm. old expression. And you can right. do that simply by setting up a plan to have some deduction from your check. Mm-hmm. And then you can try to live within your net. And from that point, though, you would alert people to what's sometimes called a lifestyle creep. And
yes.
Can you explain what a lifestyle creep is? Because I have a neighbor who's a creep, but that's not the same thing.
A little different. So the idea that, hey, I have my first job and I'm making money that I was in college and I was living off ramen noodles or whatever, only eating at the student, cafeteria. The idea that now I can go out to eat more, these things are, the whole wide world is open to me. You still don't want to overextend yourself, right? If you look at it as, well, I lived like that for 4 or 5, 6 years, however long you were in college, I could still do that. Like, why do I have to make all these changes? Just because you're bringing in that paycheck now, you don't have to make extravagant changes. Right, you can enjoy life a little more, but you don't have to push yourself to the limits.
Just a little bit of discipline, a little mm-hmm. bit of restraint, and it will smooth out things in the long term. And I had a friend, I may have mentioned him before, a guy named Dave Gallagher, who's since passed away, but he just said he and his wife kind of established a lifestyle that they were comfortable with. And so when he got pay raises, the extra pay mm-hmm. went into investments and savings, and they were right. quite well off in their final, their golden years. They were able to relax and take it easy and enjoy, right. their life.
Right. And that is a great way to look at things, to say, hey, I can live this way. I'm not miserable. I'm not, my bills are still paid. So adding in more money into my checking account every payday, it's okay. But how much more would I benefit if I had that in a savings or a retirement where it's earning more money just sitting there, right?
Yeah. Now, when you're flush, and again, we're talking in relative terms here, folks, mm-hmm. but if you got all your bills paid, and you're sitting on a few $100s. It's going to be easy to eat out more often. It's going to be easy to spend on mm-hmm. concert tickets or maybe some vacations. And maybe you can just put those off for a while,
right.
and cook yourself a good meal at home.
Yep.
one concert a year or two would be better than one every month. And save the cruises for your golden years. But it's easy if you're sitting comfortably to kind of get wasteful, and that's not going to have a happy outcome either in the long term.
Right, and that's what that budgeting will do for you. It lets you see, hey, this is what I have for the month, and this is what I can work within.
All right, we're talking with Liesl Kamphammer of ARC Federal Credit Union, folks. The ARC Federal Credit Union website, by the way, is arcfcu.org,
yes.
Correct? All right. We're going to be right back. Take a quick break. Keep it here. Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
This is John Eichelberger from Complete Insurance Services in Altoona. The insurance industry is experiencing a lot of change. Premiums are increasing, and many companies are more restrictive in what they'll insure. It's more important than ever to have an independent agent with multiple companies who can find the right market at the right price for your insurance needs. Whether it's personal or business coverage, Complete Insurance Services can help. Call us at 940-1733. That's 940-1733.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Listen to WRTA anywhere at WRTA.com or on the Leitner Radio app. Streaming of WRTA is driven by Grubco Busing Incorporated in Heston.
Grubco Busing is your family-run travel partner serving Huntington, State College, Altoona, and beyond since 1980. Grubco Charter Bus Tours offer superior comfort and convenience, and their professional drivers ensure a safe, relaxing, and enjoyable journey. Book your next adventure at GrubcoBusing.com or give them a call at 814-907-0518. Follow them on Facebook, too.
Fox News and AccuWeather keep you informed every hour.
The people who are the targets of their investigation know what's what are in those documents.
It could be that they were trying to send a strong message to Ukraine and to the West about their capabilities.
Anytime that you're traveling, common sense has to prevail.
On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
All right, we're back. Money matters. Oh, indeed it does. We're talking with Liesl Kamphammer, folks, of ARC Federal Credit Union, and about the stage of life where you're getting out of high school or getting out of college, going into the workforce full-time, and we hope gainfully employed, getting a nice paycheck that becomes less nice when the government starts ripping you off. But that's my rest of my talk show.
The story for another day.
I'll talk about the great Satan another time. You know, a question that comes up is should these youngins who have, you know, so much on their plate when they're starting that first job and maybe starting a family and maybe getting a home or first time ever apartment owners, all this stuff, getting furniture for the first time, should they be starting a retirement account and a savings account right away, especially if they still have student loans to pay off? What's the way to go?
So that's a great question. And I would say that a lot of times, yes, because a lot of employers will offer a retirement option.
Free so, money.
Right. If that's there for you, definitely take advantage of that, especially if they have that retirement match. You want to save up to whatever your employer will match. And if you feel like anything beyond that is just outside of your means at this point, it's stretching you too thin, that's understandable. But
let me add, though, that usually when you contribute to an employer's retirement account, it's tax deferred. And if you can, you know, up to a certain percent, it might be just 5% of your salary. But if you can defer taxes, folks, that's what you should do. And if in addition your employer is matching maybe 50 cents on the dollar, maybe a quarter on the dollar, maybe dollar for dollar like they do in academia, they're very generous. But you've got to make the donation to get the free money and make the donation to get the deferred taxes.
Right. And that's because you have that match potentially, or just that your employer is setting that up for you and offering it. I would strongly recommend if that retirement account is available through your employer that you should jump on that.
And from a ROI point of view, return on investment, the student loans are typically lower interest than what you're likely to earn in a savings account, which would be another reason to say, don't forego a savings retirement.
Right, those retirement savings.
You must pay off your student loan, but but what you can, you should put into your savings account to come out ahead in the long term. Mm-hmm. How about how do you size up the things that you can afford that you must have, like transportation or living accommodations? How do you size that up?
So you're going to want to take into account the total monthly cost. Sometimes you just look at, oh, well, rent for that is, you know, $900 a month for that apartment. And my loan payment for my car is, you know, $600 a month. So that's $1,500 a month. and your utilities for your apartment if it's not included. And if you're going to have any kind of renter's insurance on your apartment, some landlords require that now.
Right.
And if you're going to, well, if you're going to, you have to, there's no option, auto insurance, you have to have auto insurance on your car. You have to tack on all those additional payments as well each month.
Yeah, I'm not shilling now for our sponsor, Complete Insurance Service, but I am telling folks, if you have an apartment, you do need insurance, whether it's required or not. You have possessions and you have liabilities and you need to be protected.
I would also 1,000% recommend having renter's insurance, whether you're renting a home or renting an apartment, whatever it is. I highly, highly recommend it.
Very good. So your first year out of school, we talked about these habits you need to develop. One of them is put together a budget and try to stick to that budget. But what other habits should they be trying to adopt?
Make sure you're paying your bills on time. Build that emergency savings.
But the bills on time, that's where your credit rating is determined, right?
Right. And even now with some of the newer credit scores, just your utility bills and your cell phone payments, things like that can be used to calculate a credit score.
Yeah. If you chronically late with those, your credit score is going to be very much impacted in a very bad way. And we were talking about, what you can afford. And there used to be rules of thumb on buying a house. And we'll probably talk about this next month in our June edition about the owning a home and the true cost. But my sense was you can afford a mortgage that's, I guess, all your debt's not supposed to be more than 40% of your gross. There's some rule of thumb, and your mortgage shouldn't be more than 25% of your gross.
There are some guidelines around the percentage of your income.
But youngster could avail themselves of that too. And once again, unlike in my day, there is a thing called the interweb. And you could find some, don't trust everything out there, folks, but there are rules of thumb that are well known in the financial industry that could be helpful in this regard. Getting into the more details about student loans and other loans, there are sometimes different options when it comes to repaying them. What can people look for there?
So when it comes to the federal loans, there are deferment options. There are different payment plans based on, how much you're making at your job, things like that. So make sure you look into those. And also with the private student loans, those are different. They're not the same type of options available with federal student loans. So don't just assume because I have one type of student loan set up to repay one way, I can do that with all of them. Check into those. Make sure you understand how everything works.
That's a good point. And, I don't know if these programs are still out there, but there used to be a program where if you're going into the field of teaching, that if you go to an underserved area, you're going to get a 50% forgiveness for your student loan or some level of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I might highly recommend that because though the school you're going to is not your first choice, it's a great learning experience as a teacher.
Yes.
And it's a great financial advantage, too.
I do believe you have to work in one of those qualifying schools or school districts for a certain number of years also.
Well, let me give the disclaimer. I'm not speaking anything legally here, folks. I was speculating on past rules. Yeah. Okay. I like one of the things you have here that you point out to me is one of the things people should, as we run out of time, sorry, but is to track your expenses. What do you learn from that?
You realize where your money's coming and going, and it helps you, tracking that builds those habits again. You got to build all those small habits of saving and spending and knowing where your money goes.
By the way, Ben Franklin's autobiography is right on. He's paid attention to you. He has
I paid attention to him.
Itemize what you're doing first so you can figure out who you are and how you can change from that point forward. Hey, Liesl Kamphammer, thanks so much for being here. Really enjoy these Money Matter segments. And
thank you.
Next month, folks, the true cost of owning a home. A little late for me, but we're going to get into that anyway.